How you doing? Hey, first of all, I'm Tim. That's Carolyn. And I don't know if you noticed in the little booklet, it says that you've been here 27 years at the church?
No.
No? What have you been doing for 27 years?
I don't know.
Who's got a book? She said, I don't know.
I didn't read my bio.
That's what I was thinking. I will tell you guys, Bible study director for 20. They can't hear you.
This is for tall people. I've been a LBS director for, will be 28 years in May, in the same class.
I don't think I was even born then.
Oh.
I'm kidding. I will tell you this. We were having a Midnight Madness meeting yesterday morning, and Carolyn walked in, and Alan, her son, had done something to aggravate her. So she comes in, and who does she hit? Me. So this we'll see. We're going to try to get through this without me getting beat up. I'm just saying. So how do we change the TV over to our slideshow?
The source
computer's frozen.
On the fast track in management, and the Lord got a hold of him. And the same way with me, I've always loved to serve, and I've served since I was a little girl. And but I never ever thought I would get to do this. And I love my job, but like I say, I spent 23 years in education, and have really done women's ministry for almost 25 years. I did 9 years as a volunteer. And so I love ministry. I laughed and told Greg one day, I said, you know, I would still do it for nothing. He said, okay, that sounds really good. I'm joking. But Tim was the same way. He's an amazing guy to work with. And we have a lot of fun with each other and with our team.
But this is awkward, okay? So
what's the last session?
It's the last session.
We can go home.
Something like that, right?
It is.
Oh, no. We've been busted.
Busted.
Tim sent all the PowerPoints and everything like that because I had some of the other things going on.
Go ahead. Blame it on me.
No, I said it was good.
I'm kidding.
You see what I mean? I can't say anything. Hey, Bob Christian. I've known Bob Christian forever.
He was the only man allowed in the
piano loud in the room, and if there was something he didn't like that Beth said, he wrote her a letter. A nice letter.
All right.
You ready?
I think so.
In the microphone, please.
All right. Hey, let's move it over here out of the way here so that they can see the TV. Don't do that. Oh, excuse me. Actually, if you guys talk to Carolyn, I would like for you to refer to her as the Galactic Falcon, if you would. And I'll be the Silver Fox, or the Silver Power. Sorry. And so you may be wondering, we gave you guys a name badge that's blank. So I want you to fill in your superhero name. All right. And so can you guys see that? If you can't see it, let me know. So you've got the first letter of your first name, first letter of your last name, and so this will be kind of fun. So David, you would be your first name. Okay, the Power. There you go, brother. And so that's your superhero name. So write that on your name badge. Stick that on so that we'll know what to call you. Okay. And then also on the handouts, it says, what's your superhero name? Put that on there. And so, Galactic Falcon, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Awesome. Can I raise this up a little bit? Are you sure? The Power, that's right. Fight the Power. I'm just saying. All right, does anybody have a good superhero name you want to share? Star Arrow, I like that. Nice, I'm digging it. You're going to put that, is that going to be like your Instagram tag now or something? There you go. Ooh, that sounds like a real, that's kind of a villain name, isn't it? Maybe not, I guess not, right? Okay, all right. I love it, Leslie. It's great. All right, anybody else want to share their superhero name? There you go. I love the Aqua Beast. I like that one. You know, the new Aquaman movie that came out and everything. I mean, you should have been in there with them. There you go. Relevant. Anyway, we just wanted to do that as kind of an icebreaker because it is late. Is it past anybody's bedtime in here? So, I know, right? I told my wife, I said, I don't usually stay out till 1 or 2 in the morning, but if I do, it's because of church, you know? So, did you? Jealous. All right. So, moving on into the real stuff. Wanted to take a minute. There's so many definitions of leadership, and if you've looked around at all the stuff that's with the different sessions that we've got, there's a lot on leadership, and you can sit through 3 or 4 different leadership classes and hear some repetition of things over and over again, and then you're going to hear some things that you're like, well, I never really considered something like that. So what is it, just in a word or two, something that you would use to define leadership? Not everyone at once, okay? Example, okay, very good. Anything else? Okay, integrity, moral integrity, good. Okay, service. Nice. Inspires others to follow them. Good. Right. Yeah. That's a big deal. And so this is, Carolyn, you just push me out of the way when you want to say something. All right. You don't mind? All right. Good. I know she doesn't mind, but still. Leadership does not create followers. Leadership serves and creates more leaders. You know, when I was in my early 20s, and Carolyn mentioned when I was at Xerox, and I was my own God, okay? And I thought the definition of leadership was, come with me and I'll take you there. Follow me and I'll show you how to go. I'll blaze the trail and we'll go and I'll take you there and I'll show you how to do it. I aged a little bit. I got a little bit more seasoned. What I learned about leadership was leadership leads by example. Okay, it's servant leadership, and it develops and creates other leaders. Now, this doesn't have to be your definition, but this is kind of what I came up with when I began to think about what is leadership to me. Leadership isn't taking people places. It's let me show you how to do this. Let's replicate ourselves. Okay, leaders lead. People follow leaders. Okay, but what we have to do as leaders is be intentional about developing people to be able to be excellent in what they're doing, to have a moral compass in what they're doing. And obviously in church work, we're looking for people who will model what Jesus Christ has called us to model. You know, that whole Jesus model leadership. And so, Carolyn, do you want to add anything about that?
No, but the leaders set the direction for how an LBS class is going to go. We're going to get fired.
I know. Well, you are.
And they create a vision and have a passion for what they do. And that's a leader does that sort of thing. They're the ones who set the tone and for an LBS class.
One of the things I've always encouraged our leaders to do is be a thermostat, not a thermometer. You know, we've all walked into a room and the room is as cold as ice. But if we go in and we set the tone for our LBS classes, if we set that energy level, we set that excitement, we set that expectation that when a guest or a visitor walks in, that they're engaged, that they're welcome, that they're included, that they're encouraged, they're ministered to, then other people will pick up on that and be able to see that. And so if we as leaders can be a thermostat and set the degree of the room to what we're looking for, what God's expectation is for us, that's a lot better than being a thermostat and walking into a room going, oh, it's cold in here. We're just going to stand here in the corner with our hands in our pockets. Does that make sense? Right on.
I found a quote from Dwight Eisenhower, who's president many, many, many years ago, and he said, leadership is the art of getting someone else to do something you won't do because he wants to do that. So it's getting someone else to do something that you don't want to do, but he wants to do it. That's his gifting. He knows what he wants to do. And so I thought that was really interesting, a description of leadership. And a leader should want to be effective, and a leader knows the way and shows the way. And I just got out of a session a while ago where we talked about leadership and running a class, and I was a woman on the panel, and these guys are strong, strong leaders. They know the direction they're going, and I think that's what a leader does.
Right on. I'm just going to hold this. Is that okay? Yeah. All right, I want to share a verse with you guys. Matthew 20:26-28, it says, it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So when we mention servant leadership, who mentioned that? Servant leadership is exactly what Jesus modeled for us. You know, Jesus has never asked us to do something that he never did himself. And I think that's important for us as leaders. As Carolyn said, as we're leading people and we're taking them places, what we're doing is we're modeling for them how to do things with the expectation of that this is what Christ has called us to do. Now, here's a big question. Some of you guys are probably already in leadership in LBS. So should you lead in LBS? And so we've got some questions. Why do you want to lead? I think motivation is a big factor in what Carolyn mentioned, that, you know, we're excited, we're doing the things that we're doing because that's what God's called us to do. But you could just be this guy right here, you know, Napoleon Dynamite. I got leadership skills. You know, he's got nunchuck skills and all these other things, but that's one of the skills that he has, was leadership. But, you know, and there's an argument that leaders are born or leaders are made. You know, and I personally fall into the leaders are made category. We all have leadership characteristics within us. And what we have to do is be able to recognize that and define what those skills are and pursue those things.
Yeah, and everyone is called to lead, but it may not be in the role of a director. You need to know what your calling is. You need to know what your strengths are. And one of the things that I learned was my gifts was through place profile. We have it here at church, and you can go online and find it. I think it's under missions, but you can still take that, and it'll go online, and then you can call and get them to send you the results. But it was worth it because what I found out, I was serving, and doing the job, but I thought I was just serving and doing the job. I didn't know God had really equipped me that way, that it was my gifting. And so I'm not called to teach. That's not my gifting, but I'm called to be an administrator, and that's a gifting. And discernment, which gets me in a lot of trouble, and exhortation. So it's finding out who you are in Christ, how he developed you, how are you wired. Bob Christian back here is, he's got a servant's heart, and he leads a prayer team on Tuesday morning. But he was the sound man in a room of almost 265 women, and he never said a word. But he knew what his purpose was and what his gifting was.
All right. The other thing is how do you know that you're called? Has anybody ever struggled with, is this where God's leading me? You know, and I've struggled with that. You know, Carolyn mentioned I was in the corporate world for 15 years. And when I got asked to come on staff at a church to be a youth pastor, man, that was like, man, I personally, yes, I want to do it, but is God calling me to do this? And you guys are familiar with Gideon, right? I have what they call the Gideon complex, or what I call the Gideon complex. I feel God leading me to do something and God calling me to do it, and I'll say, God, are you sure this is what you want me to do? Because if it is, I want you to give me confirmation. And he'll do that. He's faithful in that. And then I'll say, God, are you really, really sure? You know, this time I want more confirmation. And God is in his patience, in his still small voice, he lovingly walks me through that. The problem isn't asking for confirmation. The problem is staying there and refusing to do what God has called you to do. Your spirit won't be happy. Your soul won't be happy. I was called to ministry at 19, and I remember telling God, I'm not taking a vow of poverty, and going into the corporate world and being really successful at that, and having the opportunity to come back, you know, after 15 years of what I'm going to say gluttonous lifestyle, you know, just being a consumer and not a giver, and I was miserable, you know, and then stepping into a ministry role and being used by God in ways that were beyond my capability just confirmed his call in my life because of the satisfaction that he gave my spirit, you know. I've got a phrase that my wife hates it, is that we're all screwed up in our own special way, okay? We've all got our own baggage, you know, but what God can do with that is amazing if we give it to him, you know? We can't use the excuses of our past, and that's one thing that I had to realize. I couldn't use the excuse of my past to prevent me from doing what God had called me to do. And so, is it scary? Yeah, it's terrifying. Is it intimidating? Yeah. Is it rewarding? More than anything else in the world, it's rewarding. It's there's a satisfaction in our soul when we're doing what God has called us to do. When we have that burden, and when you go to bed with it in your heart and on your mind, and when you wake up with it in your heart and on your mind, God may be calling you to do something. If you're finding joy in what you're doing that's menial to some people, maybe what God is calling you to do, you know? You want to add?
I realized the Lord had a calling on my life. I went to hear Henry Blackaby. I love experiencing God. If you have not done it, you need to do it. In fact, you can have this book. It's got my name in it, but I've not written in it. I've done it about four times. I wrote it in it. But Henry Blackaby was at Tallawood Baptist several years ago, and I went to hear him. I had been told by someone that I could never be a good leader because I was too quiet.
I didn't laugh. That was him. That wasn't me.
And I believed that. And I don't know if you've ever seen Henry Blackaby, but he was an older man, a bigger guy, very soft-spoken, quiet, gentle. And I'm telling you, the Lord got a hold of me that day, and I cried all through the, just off and on all day, because I realized that if God could use a man as soft-spoken and gentle as Henry Blackaby, he could use Carolyn O'Neill. And I was with Beth Moore and two other friends, and another friend that was with us just was so convicted about something, and we both were just tears rolling. And we broke for lunch, and we were sitting in the soup and salad place out at Town and Country. And Beth said, "For Pete's sake, would y'all quit crying? We're not at a funeral." But that is a great book, because what God asks you to do is to join him where he's at work. So where is he at work in your life? And are you doing what he's called you to do? Is that where you want to be? Is that where you want to spend your life? I never thought I'd be a director of a LBS. I sang in the choir. That was wonderful. I was content to do that. But God had other plans. I never thought I'd be an LBS director. I never thought I'd be a women's ministry director. I mean, it's just bizarre that I didn't have my mother's blessing to do this. And yet, as I reminded my sister, it didn't stop me. Because you gotta join God where he is, or you're gonna mess it. And I didn't want to mess. I just did not want to miss what God had for me. That's my favorite scriptures. You did not choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit, and fruit that would last forever. And my prayer is that once my work is done here or wherever, that I have that there's been a lot of fruit out of the ministry. That I have sweet opportunity to pour into women and to see them grow. I've got one little girl that I've just poured into, and she's doing a session right now as I speak. She's in her late 20s, and I am just thrilled. It's just believing in people, and that's our. Tim has the same heart. We want to grow people. We want to grow leaders to be leaders, and we've got LBS classes that need leaders and teachers, and so many people say, "No, I can't do that." But I didn't want to say no to God.
Right. One of the other things you need is faithfulness, and I think Jesus was pretty clear where that comes from, and that's when we're connected with him. When we abide in him, we bear much fruit, as Carolyn just talked about. This is in the same chapter, and John 14:4-5, it says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears fruit." I don't know why I picked this version. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So if Christ has called us, we have to be faithful to what he's called us to do. And we have to be connected with him at an intimate level. Because if you're trying to do work on your work, on your own ministry work, church work, doesn't matter if it's as a teacher, a director, an in-reach and outreach person, or a ministry staff person, you don't have the ability to do it in your own strength and power. We're weak. But unless we're connected to the source, which is the Holy Spirit through the blood of Jesus Christ, we're going to wear ourselves out. And the other thing is if we're not connected to him, we're doing it for our glory. That's a bad thing. We're leading people where we want them to go, but not where God wants them to go, but what we think they're good at. And you guys are probably better than me, but I'm better at breaking things than I am fixing them. The last thing is integrity. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands, he led them. Psalm 78. Now, we know a lot of good things about David. We also know a lot of bad things about David. But we know this. David stumbled. David failed. David messed up. But God also redeemed David. And David was a man of integrity. He was a man after God's own heart. And so integrity is a really vital part of leadership here, really in any church environment. Next, we'll go to value. First of all, investing in the body of Christ. That's what we're here for. We're here to invest in the kingdom. And we're here to invest in people who are in our LBS classes to equip them to go into the world and to be the gospel in their environment. If this is their Jerusalem, their home may be their Judah, their Samaria, and then the ends of the earth. There's a target zone there that we're supposed to first our home, and then our communities, then our states and our nations. And so We have to have this integrity to invest in the body of Christ, okay? And that's exactly what we're doing here in our LBS classes. I will instruct you and show you the way that you should go. With my eye on you, I will give you counsel. God equips us. He prepares us to be able to invest in people in our lives. Next, it's impact the church. And I want to take a plug in this one and talk about launching new classes. You know, sometimes when we get into our LBS classes, we create an environment that we like. Our LBS classes should be missional in that they're training up other people, leaders, to launch new classes so the church can grow. You know, not for the glory of Houston's First Baptist or not for the glory of Greg Mott, but for the kingdom, okay? We've got a lot of classes here, but we've also got a lot of people who aren't going to LBS classes. We have a lot of people who come and they go to a few classes. They don't find one that they connect with. And I'm kind of a dork on this stuff, so I'm going to warn you guys right now. New classes grow faster than established classes. Do you like how I said established? Not older? Yeah. So, I'm going to get hit now. New classes grow faster. Why? Because there's more energy, there's more excitement, there's more desire, there's more of a, we have a mission mentality as opposed to this is the group my friends come to and this is where we hang out and recover for the week. And so if we can maintain a mission mentality in our LBS classes, we're generating people who are excited about kingdom growth. Right on? Y'all can say right on back, it's all good. Creating leaders, we mentioned that. And in that, in creating leaders, we also create layers of leadership. And this is a big deal. You know, in the church I was at before, it was dial-a sub. It's really kind of what I was used for. If a teacher was going to be out, they would call me. And so it was my responsibility to find a sub for each of my classes. After about a year of that, I had a teacher's meeting. I said, here's the deal. If you need a sub, find it on your own. Don't call me. And they were like, what? That's your job. I said, no, my job is to create an environment where people want to come and be in church and train you up and do these things. And they said, well, that's your job is to find us a sub. I said, who are you training to launch a new class with? And they were like, we don't do that here. I was like, come on. And so I put it back on all of our classes that if a teacher was going to be out, they needed to have someone trained and ready to go and create layers of leadership. Because what would happen is if we had a teacher that would leave the church for whatever reason or go on to glory, that class would fold because there was nobody in there that could step up and support the class and teach. Anything you want to add to that?
Yeah. I don't think – in the other session that I talked – or not taught, but it was part of the panel – was that I had no idea that I would ever be, you know, a director of a class. And as I told you, I was best director for 8 years, and she moved to a different hour. And she thought I was going to go with her. We worked really well together because she was the mouth and I was the arms and the legs. And so we just did really well. And she moved. I didn't. The Lord just would not let me move, left me with 15 women. And, you know, I'm thinking, what am I going to do? But I can't leave these women. So I stayed. And so Dayspring has continued. That was the name of the class when Beth was teaching it. But I'm so glad I did because I've learned so much about leadership and just being faithful. The hardest part of being a director is finding workers. People, they're soakers. Until you can influence them enough to know that they are capable of doing something, whether it's the check-in. The lady who checks in my class every Sunday has not missed a Sunday in 2 years. Probably longer than that. I didn't go any further than that, but it's just leadership is so important, and it doesn't matter whether you are the teacher or you're the Brenda Mayo who checks people in. Everyone is important. It's like, you know, putting hands together. It's the body of Christ working together for one cause.
You know, if you look at our staff, we have layers of leadership, you know, and I wish I could tell you that Greg Mott thought of that, but Moses chose able men. I mean, this has been around for a while. Out of all Israel, and made them heads over the people, chiefs, thousands of hundreds of fifties and of tens, you know. And so, and I want to encourage this, you know, there's a misconception that if I have a big class, I'm a good teacher. If I have a big class, I'm a good director. That's not necessarily true. You know, when in most churches, a small group is a group of about, you know, 10 to 12 to 14, 16 people. It's, you know, this here we don't have the real estate to have classes that small in a lot of places. So we have classes of 50 or 80 or 200, you know, but the truth is it's hard for community to happen in those environments. It's hard for people to be really trained up. It's easier to be missed in a group of 80 people as opposed to a group of 15, you know. And so, you know, whose kingdom are we trying to build? You know, if I'm seeking to have a class of 90 people, am I looking to glorify God or glorify myself? You know, and so now those things do happen. And I'm not saying that if you're in this room and you've got a class of 50 people, then you got a big ego and it's all about you. I'm not telling you that at all. But what I'm saying is are we being missional in the way that we're operating in our classes? Are we creating leadership that can go and launch another class? You know, are we celebrating those things? And then I just kind of put on here a depth chart. Do I see gifts in other people? And am I helping to develop passions? You know, being a part of leadership is being able to have a conversation with someone, be able to identify. And that's one thing that Carolyn and I do as staff people and church staff people, man, we're recruiters, you know. And that's just kind of the nature of the job. And so we're always looking for someone's passion. We're always looking for what do they love to see God do in someone's life. And then we start the process of where do I have a need and how can we get this person plugged in? Not just to put a warm body in a room, but to say, man, I really feel like God could use you in this environment, you know. You know, and Carolyn mentioned the place a minute ago, and she kind of stole my glory on that. I got a slide on that, Carolyn. That's all right. I still love you. So, you know, but are our eyes open? Are our ears open? Are we recognizing gifts in other people? Are we recognizing people's passions? If I've got a guy that's coming in every week and telling me how much he's learning in the Bible and how much God's teaching him, I'm going to start praying, God, is this a person that could be a teacher, you know? If I've got somebody coming in going, man, I called 6 people in my classes last week that weren't here last night. I'm like, hey, congratulations, you're the new in-reach director. I prayed about it. You're it. You know, God told me he wants you to do that, you know, because in-reach is a really part of our classes. So best practices. What is your passion? What is your burden? You know, if you're not plugged into leadership yet, but it's something that you're thinking about, or if you're talking to somebody, man, what are you burdened for? What are you passionate about? Are you passionate about studying God's word? Well, it could be that God may be taking you towards teaching. And I'm kind of like Carolyn. I never dreamed in a million years that God would allow me to do what I get to do. I'm blown away by that. And I will tell you this. If God had given me this vision today, 15 years ago, I wouldn't have said, God, I don't want to take a vow of poverty. I would have said, God, I can't do that. But with our faithfulness, God increases our responsibilities. And so what God burdens us with, he burdens for a vision, and he'll make those things happen on his own because he's God and he's good like that. Got anything?
I'm going to finish up with that story.
Now?
No, sure?
Yeah, I'm done.
Oh, you're done? Okay. What is your passion, your burden? Is the question is, who are you serving? Are you serving yourself? Are you serving others, which is part of it, or are you serving God? I heard Jeff, I think it's pronounced Eorge is his name. He is the head of a seminary in California, Gateway Seminary. And he was an amazing, amazing speaker, and it was on leadership. This is the character of leadership. I ordered it off of Amazon's paperback. But he was telling us about his son, whose life was always in order. I mean, he even had the family's life in order. And he was a star, you know, athlete. And he said every Saturday night after the ball game was over, all the kids, all the players would come over and just hang out at their house. And, you know, it was always open for them. But he said one night after everybody left, he sat down to talk to his son, who was just high achiever. And he said, "Son, how do you do this? How do you do what you do?" This young man just ministered to other people. He was a tremendous athlete, football player. And he looked at his dad and he said, "Dad, I do it for an audience of one." And that's who we should lead for. And it's one person, an audience of one, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we do this for. It's one, I think Tim would probably agree, it's the hardest job. It's 9 to 5 is a lot better. Because we put in a lot of hours, but we do it because we love it. It's our passion. And it's our burden to do this. We want to do it. Do we have to take breaks? Yes. He's walking through something right now with his dad, and that's his priority. You know, we put family first, not above God, but family, opposed to making sure you're running a program or something. And so you have to know what your priorities are. My priority is my family, and they all go to church here, and I'm very, very proud of that. But what is your priority? Who do you serve? We serve an audience of one, and that is God. And when it's all said and done and we get to heaven, my prayer is he says to me, "Well done, my child, well done." And so I just want to encourage you, no matter what you do, if you run the sound like Bob Christian with a bunch of girls, then run the sound. You know, if you, Carol and Rob have only been married just a few years, and they're 5 years. It doesn't seem that long, but yeah, they're just kids. Mm-hmm. And they both have passion to pour into other young couples, and they're doing that. And they were directors for a while, and so they've reached out. They didn't stop. You know, they have not stopped serving, and that's been faithful. They've been faithful, and I'm so grateful for that. 10 minutes. Okay.
All right, we'll be going. And you know, and with that said, there are times, you know, and I kind of have a philosophy in my Adult One ministry. When someone comes in and they're saying, "Hey, you know, we're bringing on a new director or teacher or something," I'll say, "Listen, this isn't a till death do us part relationship." You know, I know people who have been so burned out of church work because that becomes the most important thing in their life. It becomes more important than their relationship with Christ sometimes, is that they're so busy doing things. There are times in your life when you have the ability, the bandwidth, to minister to people, and there are times when you need to step back and be ministered to. And as a leader, you have to know when that time is. And you should be able, and you should have the freedom. And I'll tell you what, if you go to a minister on staff here and they say, "Listen, I can't let you go right now," you come to me and I'll go have a conversation with them. Because there are times when you need to step away from ministry and be ministered to. And you need to know that you've got the freedom to do that. And, you know, the ministry is not dependent on you. It's dependent on Jesus Christ. Okay? You do a lot. And I'm not trying to minimize what you do. You do a lot. And you love people and you minister to people. But you know what? Sometimes you need to be loved on too, and you need to be ministered to. There's always needs in the church, okay? God's big enough to do and take care of this church, okay? And I say that because I love you, not because I'm trying to run you off, okay? And I don't want you to go, "Well, I had a bad day. I'm leaving ministry," you know? I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is there are times, you know, we all go through the hard times. We all go through life circumstances. And sometimes we need to step out in ministry because we're running on empty, okay? A great book called Leading on Empty. It's a phenomenal book, and it just talks about, you know, when you've got nothing left in your tank, where do you go? What's your goal? You know, why am I stepping into ministry? Why am I stepping into a leadership role? Is it so that I can be elevated? You know, what's the purpose? If it's our burden, it's if our passion, fantastic. God's calling you to do it. And there's got to be a goal inside or an end in sight. What's your fuel? You know, always heard the phrase, I had a buddy of mine, he told me, he goes, when I teach, I think people deserve to drink from running water. And I was like, what? I'm a little slow. So here's a visual if you're slow like me. You have stagnant water up here on the top right or left. Down here you have running water. People, you know, in leadership, if we're not abiding in Christ, then we're running. We've already been poured out, okay? Because in a leadership role, you're continuously being poured out. And so you've got to have that constant connection with Christ and have that relationship, have that daily quiet time. I'll tell you, almost every leadership meeting I have, I tell my people, make sure you're having your daily quiet time. Not to be legalistic, but so that they're having time with the Lord every day. So that they're stopping and they're shutting everything out and they're praying and they're spending time with God every day. Because the truth is in ministry, it will suck you dry and you will be poured out continuously. And at some point, there's nothing left to pour out and you're pouring out the same things over and over again. And so make sure that you're drinking from running, or, you know, when you serve people, I think I put on their living stream. People deserve to drink from a living stream. What's God actively doing in your life right now? Okay? Now, I'm not trying to put pressure on you saying you need to be in one more program. But what I'm talking about here is your spiritual life. Because you can't neglect that and expect God to use you. Because God will never take you, he'll never take your group larger than your spiritual development and leadership. So, anything you want to add?
One thing is that Pastor Greg takes us a day with the Father. I think almost every week he tries I think it's on Thursdays, he'll go out to Hunt Retreat. And he spends the day alone out there and calls it a day with the Father. And he has encouraged our staff to do the same thing. It's hard for us to do it. And especially when you have families and things are going on in your family. But if you've ever I told somebody today is that our staff women, I talked to them, that sometimes we need to just sit and listen to what God is saying, because we are so busy with social media, technology, all of that, and we have to have it. But when is the last time you've sat and you've heard God's voice? It's the hardest thing in the world to do. And I told him this morning, I said, I have a little sitting room off of our master bedroom, and I will go in there, and I have my Bible and, you know, everything else that I need in there, TV, no TV on, and I don't even open my Bible. I sit in the quiet and listen. And when I'm in that room, Les knows I'm in that room because I'm being quiet and doing my quiet time, but I don't do anything but listen. And my question is, what is God saying to you? And if you're listening to God, it makes you a better leader. It helps you not to just be drained all the time and to drink stagnant water. And that is so easy to do because we get wrapped up in programs. And I was thinking this week, as we've met umpteen jillion times over Midnight Madness, I think that's why I hit him when I walked in. I was mad I had to go to another meeting. But sometimes we just need to sit and surrender whatever God's saying to you, and he's asking you to give up something, or he's telling you to go to something, do something, listen to that and surrender to that still small voice that you'll know it's the Lord. Trust me, you'll know it's the Lord when you're that quiet. Nothing stirring, and I want to encourage you to do that.
The Bible says something about that, doesn't it? Be still and know that I'm God. I'll be exalted among the nations. Amen. So it doesn't mean it's easy, right? Next is, who is your model? You know, who are you modeling your life after? Who are you modeling your leadership after? I know there's a church answer. Who is it, guys? There you go. That's right. Jesus is always the answer. And this is a scripture that my son, I've made him memorize, and he swears he's going to put it on his Letterman jacket, but I'm not going to let him because he doesn't live it out. It says, do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others more important than yourselves. Each one should look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Christ's humility and exaltation make your own attitude. So make your own attitude that of Christ Jesus. That's verse 5. And so when we talk to our kids and we say, you know, they're talking about drama at school, here's the model. Make your attitude that of Christ Jesus. Yeah, I know that kid stole your sunglasses and the coach found them underneath his clothes in his locker. How are you going to love him through this, Dad? Well, you always got to bring Jesus in it, Dad. It's like, I know, it's awful, isn't it? You know, I know your flesh wants to go and just beat the junk out of him, but at the end of the day, how does that glorify God? He's like, why do you always make it so hard, you know? And I get it, you know, because guess what? My flesh wants to respond in the same way. My flesh doesn't want to look at this kid and say, listen, I don't care that you're going to tell me that you didn't steal them. I just want you to know that I love you and you're still welcome in my house. Ooh, that's hard. You know, but who's our model? You know, I liked what David Fleming said earlier. It's not what would Jesus do, it's what did Jesus do, you know. That's a hard one. Carolyn, what's your gifting? Administration?
Administration, exhortation, and
discernment. Exercise and what? is that what you said? Okay. So she mentioned it's important to know what your spiritual gifting is, because it's odds are your spiritual gifting and your passions are going to probably line up. And so if you go to hfbc.mobilizer.com, and mobilizer is spelt weird, so take a look at that. And you can take a spiritual gift assessment. If you're already a leader in a class, encourage your class to do this. Find out what people's passions are, what people's spiritual gifting is. You find somebody who's got the gift of mercy. Guess what? You found the person who's going to do your care groups. You know, you found the person that's going to say, listen, I really enjoy celebrating people's birthdays. I'm going to write birthday cards out once a week. You know, it's a really easy way for you to find out how people are wired and how to use them. Okay. Some people are just introverted and they're just quiet. But you know what? They do an amazing job with guests and visitors because they're better in a one-on-one environment as opposed to a group environment. You know, and that's just how people are wired. That's how they're created. So, do you want to say something else?
Yeah, I was going to say something else. Is that, you know, what you do is modeling. As you were talking, I was thinking about his little daughter's Ty Gracie. It's the cutest thing you've ever seen. I'm going to ignore that. But she has got a servant's heart. I've watched her on Sunday nights. She'll come alongside me, and she is not afraid of hard work. You know why? Her model has been of the Lord, first of all, because she's been taught that. But she's watching what her daddy does. She's watching what her daddy does and her mama does. And she wanted to come tonight, but I'm afraid she couldn't make it. But it's what you're modeling, not just for your family, but for other people. And I've been asked, why do you do all of this? I do it because I'm called to do it. If I don't do it, I am going to be miserable.
Nope. Yep. Okay. Well, on the website, it actually gives you that code. So on that website, it'll actually give you that code. HFPC Loop. Yep. So just a big thank you to you guys for what you already do. I just want to reinforce that. Rob, Carol, thank you guys for coming in and putting up with Carol and Tim's show, I guess. I don't know what to call it.
Let's thank them for being here, especially this so late. They've probably been here all day long. So Thank y'all very much for doing that. All right, don't forget to do this, please. All right, and you only have to do it once. If you've already done it, but you know somebody may not have come. Maybe somebody just came and wanted to come to this last session and hadn't been here the whole time. You just never know. So, but if you don't have a phone or if your phone isn't working right, we have a survey sheet that you can have, and Rob has. If you raise your hand, he'll give it to you, and you can write it out. So.
Call Tim or me if you want to talk, and I will.
Give my phone number.
I will.
Any time of the day or night, they'll be glad to accept your phone calls.
I've done the training to be a. Forgot the word. It's late. but I can talk to you about your profile. I've been trained to look at that and talk to you about what you're getting in.
And your superhero name was Galactic, let's see here, Bolt.
Oh,
you're
Bolt.
You're the Galactic Bolt.
There you go. Rob, how are we totally out of time, or? Okay, would y'all mind answering questions if somebody has
sure,
one?
Somebody has a question.
Anybody have a question?
That's right, and you can't buy that with money, that obedience. I mean, that's just faith. So, anything else? All right, I'm going to ask Carolyn to close us in prayer.
I can do that. Father, we just thank you for this time. I know that mine and Tim's heart is aligned in that we want to see others grow through you, Father. And just never forget who we serve. And we serve an audience of one. It's not about the people that we're wanting accolades from or anything. But, Father, we want to honor you and bring others to know you. Thank you for this word from this man that we need to every day ask you. Just show us. Just show us. Father, thank you for Carol and Rob and their kindness to stay this late with us, and we thank you for a church who would offer a leadership conference like this. Not many churches would do it. We are rich in so many ways, but God, it is because of you, and we give you all the glory, we give you all the praise, and may our lives honor you and our words be encouraging to others, Father. Thank you again for this evening. We give you all the glory and the praise. Amen.